Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone on this beautiful Sunday. Couple announcements. On Tuesday, the 25th, we'll have our Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper from 6 to 7:30. On Wednesday, we'll have the Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock. There is a form in your bulletin, Easter Lilies. Last date to order those Easter Lilies will be on April the 5th. I see we have a couple open Lenten service meals. If your committee would like to take one of those spots, get with Latifa. Don't forget to stay for the catered lunch following the congregational meeting right after the service. Pastor Phil Tonneson, we want to thank him for being here today. He will talk to us about the call process and how to move forward with that. If we remember last Sunday, Pastor Talent talked about the 2020 special offering. There are some envelopes back in the narthex. If you're wanting to put something toward that, you can put it in a little envelope you have there in the pew and just put on there 2020, or you can get one of those envelopes out of the narthex. I have a card here from the Life Center. It says, Dear Holly Grove Lutheran Church, thank you so much for your generous and continued support of the Life Center of Davidson County. Your donation helps us continue to provide quality daytime care for our participants, which not only improves their quality of life, but their caregivers as well. Sincerest of thanks, Nina Smith. And that might be Nina Smith. Nina. So just a little quickie. If the ones that don't know, Pastor Phil Tonneson, he is the assisting bishop with the North Carolina Synod office out of Salisbury. So we want to thank him for coming and delivering the message today. In your bulletin, the hymn of the day has been changed to hymn number 315. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation? Prayer shawls.
So we understand that Carrie Jean Fritz is having a procedure this week, so we want to bless this prayer shawl for him. And then a co-worker of Amy Kepley's, her name's Becky Wall. Her parents were involved in a car accident and they both died. So we want to bless this for Becky.
Also, forgot a couple. We've got the Maundy Thursday service, Palm Sunday, Good Friday service, and the Easter sunrise service that we'll have with breakfast following that. We do have the yellow pamphlets in the back that have the audits. If you did not get one of those, you'll raise your hand and maybe the ushers will pass one out to you. Mikey, can you make sure everybody gets the yellow covered pamphlet? Thank you, sir. Birthdays for today. Mr. Neil Clark has the floor.
Kate Whitney kind of kept it a little bit under wraps. He might have called me Wednesday. I know he appreciated all the prayers. He had the replacement surgery done Friday. I was hoping to come home today, but I'll be tomorrow when he comes home. He's been through a lot.
Want to keep Miss Edwina in our prayers as she goes through her rehabilitation. Birthdays this week is Nathan Rose, Ben Gates, Ruth Barner, Bonnie Hedrick, Joanne Turner, Tim Everhart. Anniversaries, Chip and Ann Blower, and Andy and Crystal Ferguson. Happy anniversary, bud. I'm glad you put that up there. I forgot. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide the days of all the days of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we continue with confession and forgiveness. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Friends, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our gathering song. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. By the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite our young folks, if they would come up for children's time, please. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Can I sit down here with you? Can you see me okay? My name's Pastor Phil. Can you tell me your names, please? Can you tell me your name? Oh, that's pretty. What's your name?
Isabel.
Rosalind. Rosalind, we've already met. And we've already met my acolyte. What are your names? Calvin, good to see all of you. Thanks for coming up this morning. I have a question for you this morning. Are you a good listener? If I were to ask your teacher at school, are you a good listener? What would he or she say?
Yeah.
In school, pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay, how about if I were to ask mom or dad or grandma or grandpa if you're a good listener, what would they say?
Probably not.
Oh, it's hard, isn't it, to hold it together for school for all those hours, and then you come home and it's hard to listen. Today is a day in the church year that we call Transfiguration Sunday. That's a big word, isn't it? Transfiguration. Basically, what happened in the story I'm going to read from the Bible in just a few minutes is a story of a time that Jesus went on a hike with some of his closest friends, and he went up on top of a mountain. And while they were there, Jesus wanted to have prayer time with God, but the disciples were pretty tired from the hike. So they were sort of over under a tree, taking a nap, and Jesus was praying with God. And all of a sudden, the disciples woke up and they looked, and Jesus had literally started to glow. It was almost like there were spotlights shining on him. And then they heard a voice from heaven. And the voice was God's voice. And do you know what God said? God said, "This is Jesus, my son. I'm pleased with Jesus." And here's the key thing. Listen to Jesus. So even in the Bible, in today's scripture reading, God reminds us how important it is to listen to Jesus. So let me ask you this question. What are some things we can do to be better listeners of Jesus? What do you think? Listen to your parents. That's good, because there's a commandment, right, about honoring your mother and your father. That's excellent. How else can we be good listeners? Say it again, please. Don't tell them no. Yeah, if God or Jesus asks you to do something, okay. Yes, don't talk back or give your parents attitude. Can I get an amen from the parents out there? Amen. You know, in our world today, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's really, really rare when we have a time just for silence, right? It seems like we're always on our phones or we're watching TV. Even in our cars, we often have music going. When we go to stores, if you listen, even in elevators, they have music playing. It's very, very unusual for us today to have a time of silence, to have the opportunity to listen to Jesus and to try and understand what God is trying to tell us. So the story that I'm going to read in just a little bit for this Transfiguration Sunday reminds us that it's very, very important to be good listeners at school and at home and at church, because at church we hear stories about the good news of God's love. So, could I close us with a prayer? Would you please fold your hands and let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this Transfiguration Sunday and for the story of the time that Jesus went up the mountain to pray. We pray, gracious God, that you would help us to be better listeners in school, in our homes, with our families, and in church. We pray, gracious God, that as we listen to you, we might hear your good news for all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Have a good week. I'll see you at lunchtime.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 2 and will be spoken responsibly. And I'm sorry, I cannot see. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
"I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill."
I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possessions.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling.
Kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are all who take refuge in him.
A reading from 2 Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the powers coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses in his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father, when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will. But men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Open the canvas, save me, Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, friends, as I was talking about with our young folks, today is a special day in the church year. Today is the day we call Transfiguration Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. It's really, I think, a transitional Sunday in our liturgical calendar. For Transfiguration Sunday sort of serves as a bridge between Advent Christmas and Lent, which begins this Wednesday. And our gospel text for today tells us about a very unique experience that Jesus had with his disciples. This morning, in this message, I would like to focus on one particular verse from this gospel text, from the 17th chapter of Matthew. In verse 5, we hear, "Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" This is one of two places in the gospel stories that actually records the voice of God. Do you remember the other time? It was when Jesus was baptized. On that occasion, God also said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The story is told of a woman who dialed the telephone number of what she thought was the local music store, trying to find out if that store carried a particular CD that she was interested in. A man answered the phone, and she said, "Do you have 10 little fingers and 10 little toes in Alabama?" The man had no idea she was talking about a country song, so he responded, "Well, no, I don't, but I do have a wife and 15 kids in Louisiana." So the lady said, "Is that a record?" To which the man replied, "I don't know if it's a record or not, but it sure is above average." Now, this silly story, I think, illustrates how communication problems can be such an annoying part of life. And often the results are humorous. For example, there's a column of household hints carried in many newspapers called Ask Heloise. Some time back, Heloise wrote this in one of her columns: "Don't assume you're always going to be understood." And she goes on to tell about an article she wrote in which she suggested that one should put a cup of liquid in the cavity of a turkey before cooking it so that the turkey stays moist. Well, believe it or not, someone wrote back into her and said, "Heloise, the turkey tasted great, but the plastic cup melted." Now she's very careful to say, pour a cup of liquid in the cavity of a turkey. Folks, how many times have you heard somebody say, what we have here is a communication problem? Peter Drucker, often called the father of American management, claims that 60% of all management problems in industry are the result of faulty communications. A pastor friend of mine who works as a marriage counselor told me that in his opinion, at least 50% of all divorces are the result of faulty communications between spouses. Another pastor friend of mine who works as a chaplain in a prison told me that criminologists tell him that upwards of 90% of all criminals have difficulty communicating with other people. Recently, I read a book that says God has a problem communicating with you and with me and with the rest of humanity. The author of this book suggests that God wants us to grow to spiritual maturity. God wants to surround us with God's love. And yet God does not want to overwhelm our freedom to choose for ourselves. Several years ago, I read a true story in a newspaper about a Christian radio station in Texas that wanted to reach more people with their message. So the owners of the station decided to increase the station's wattage from 250 watts to 5,000 watts of power. However, some glitch in their system caused them to be broadcast not just over the radio, but also over local cordless telephones in the area. Needless to say, nearby residents were quite baffled to hear sermons coming in over their telephone. Talk about a higher power. Now, the point of that story and the point of the book that I mentioned a minute ago is that God could overwhelm us with his message for us if God were of such a mind. But then, you see, we would not live by faith. We would live without the burden of uncertainty. In such a world, the author says, we would remain spiritual adolescents. And thus it seems God, more often than not, communicates from a distance through subtle, sometimes indirect ways. Think back, if you would, through history. Think back about how God has communicated with God's people. First, God communicated through the people of Israel. And the people of Israel gave the world a sacred document, namely the Hebrew Bible. But still, humanity didn't seem to get it, so God went one step farther. In an act of supreme communication, God invaded space and time in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The gospel writer John puts it this way, the Word became flesh and lived among us. In other words, Jesus Christ is the Word of God made human. Then we come to our gospel reading for today. Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, had hiked up a mountain to pray. We are told that the weary disciples were close to falling asleep, but as Jesus prayed, his countenance and even his robe began to glow until it was dazzling white. And two men, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet, suddenly appeared and they were talking with Jesus. And the disciples were overwhelmed by Christ's glory. So Peter blurts out, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But as Peter said this, a cloud rolls in and overshadows them. And we're told that the disciples were terrified. And just at that point, a voice from the cloud says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen, listen to him." And folks, that for us, I think, is the key to this text. Listen to him. In a time when we struggle with communication problems, that is the great need in the heart of all humanity, to listen to the words of Christ. As I was talking about with the young folks, we live in such a noisy world, don't we? Think about it. How often do we get to experience true silence? Cell phones, computers, iPads, television, all drowned us with noise. And we find it hard to listen, to truly listen to what God might be saying to us. So, dear friends, we must find time in our daily walk to hear Christ's word of hope and promise, his words of grace and forgiveness. You know, in our lifetimes, we will probably not experience what those three disciples experienced that day on the Mount of Transfiguration. To behold Christ in all of his glory must have been truly amazing. Rather, we are challenged in our noisy world to listen to that still, small voice that gives us a message of hope and salvation, a message of love and forgiveness. It's a voice that sustains us in our darkest hour, giving meaning to our everyday lives. So, friends in Christ, what kind of communication problems are you experiencing these days? Challenges at work? At school? At home? If and when you do, let's remember what God had to say that day on the Mount of Transfiguration, for I think it still applies to us today. God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen. Listen to him." Amen. Together we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious and loving God, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we are reminded of the importance that you place on listening to the words of Jesus. In our noisy world, O Lord, help us to find those places apart, those opportunities to truly be in your presence, to listen for your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and loving God, we pray for the ministry of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, especially during these days of transition. We offer thanks for the leadership provided by Andy and the council, and by those who will be elected to serve on the call committee. We offer thanks, dear Lord, for the interim ministry of Pastor Talent. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide this community of faith as they begin the call process, as they seek to discern who it is that you are calling to be the next pastor, the next shepherd of this fold. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you are the healer of all. We pray today especially for our members and family and friends who stand in need of your healing presence. We pray especially for Burnett, Gary, Bill, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Janine, Tina, Randy, and Carrie. We pray for Noah, James, Lore, Judy, Robert, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Clyde, Pauline, the Pless family, Brooke, Edwina, the family of Shirley Phillips. Surround these, your children, gracious God, with your loving arms and give them all that they need for their journeys of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we offer thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. We pray for all servicemen and women around the world. We pray for first responders in this community. We pray for elected leaders that they might be instruments of your love and of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now we pray.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love for one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together, let's read the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance
of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.